Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Variety. Later on, we hear the Texaco Star Theater, better known as Fred Allen Show. But right now, it's 30 Minutes in Hollywood from March 13, 1938. George Jessel as the star from the Mutual Don Lee Network.
Southern California Fish Institute presents the George Jessel Show.
Thirty Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel with Norma Talmadge, and bringing you the guest appearance of the well-known motion picture star, Edmund Lowe, with Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child, Josephine Starr.
Tommy Tucker and his boys open George Jessel's office in Hollywood.
Thank you. And Norma, dear, isn't it glorious to be alive this time of the year? Ah, spring, beautiful spring. In the spring, a young man's fancy always turns to love.
And what are you bragging about?
Who's bragging? I'm only quoting from the poets. Ah, this is the time of the year when I love to go hickety-pickety over the river and through the woods. Goosey-goosey gandering up and down hill over Smith and Dale. Ah, I guess I'm just a rugged individualist. I'm a caveman.
A caveman. One breath of fresh air and you cave in.
Now, look here. There's nothing more beautiful than to watch the little children picking flowers and the little income tax collectors twining around your cottage door. Oh. And it's at this time of the year that the Academy Awards are in full bloom. And by the way, honey, I want to compliment you on that gown that you wore at the Academy dinner. It was really beautiful.
Did you like it, George?
Oh, gosh, I'd have sent you orchids if you'd have had anything to pin them on. Honey, that was an SRO dress, wasn't it, dear?
SRO?
Standing room only. But it wouldn't have surprised me. Really, I saw all those fellas looking at you. It wouldn't surprise me if they had given you a little statue as an award for the daring of that gown.
Now, George, you're just trying to get your weekly laugh. But it's a great thing that the Motion Picture Academy does here every year. Giving those little statues to people in the industry makes everybody work harder. And it's an inspiration to all of them. I think every industry should copy what the Motion Picture Academy does here in Hollywood. And at the end of the year, give some little token to their employees, like the little statues they give here. It would inspire every person on to better things.
I think you have the right idea. We've got a statue or two in the office. Supposing we carry it through.
Now, George, you're not going to take up people's time making a speech and presenting yourself or something.
No. Not me. Somebody really deserving. Someone from any walk of life.
Well, Mr. Jessel, the man who moved the piano's here. Where shall he put it?
Oh, put the piano right in here, sir. There we are now. There you are, honey. Here's someone deserving of an award.
All right. See if he'll take it. And don't try to sell him anything.
If I could do that, I'd have an antique shop, too. But anyway, my dear sir... My dear sir, who moves so gracefully the piano, we don't know each other. It just so happens that fortune has decided that we meet. You who earn your living by the sweat of your brow, and I who earn mine by...
By phoning your mother.
Better than playing with a knife and cutting myself. But to continue, sir, because of your toil, and because of those rugged, muscular arms that nature has given you, and because of that sturdy Samson-like appearance, I present you with this statue.
Oh, thank you so much. Mother will be delighted.
How now, my fine feathered friend?
All right, another award. The song that was given the Academy Award Thursday night as the most outstanding picture song of the year, as sung by Bing Crosby, Sweet Leilani.
Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, nature fashion rolled its gifts with you.
Sweet lovely Leilani,
and then she placed them in a bower.
Sweet lovely Leilani,
it was the start of
you. Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, I dreamed of paradise for two.
My lovely Leilani,
you are my paradise completer.
My lovely Leilani,
Jessel?
Now, Josephine, I'll answer no more questions until I see Gisela. What do you want now?
Here's a letter for you. What's in it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't opened it yet.
It must be important. It says eternal revenue. What does that mean?
Eternal is right. What do you mean? It says internal revenue. Well, that's from the government, dear.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that the government needs me at the moment. That's all. Norma, I can't understand the government getting into sending me a letter like this. That's why the tax isn't due until Tuesday.
It's probably for 1932, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Bingo, you hit it. Well, don't worry, I know all about this tax business. It's nothing.
Well, then perhaps you can help me with my tax.
I certainly can. Now, you just forget it's me, dear. Just imagine that I'm a regular tax accountant and you come into my office.
Very well.
Now, Miss Talmadge, what can I do for you?
Can I deduct $1,000 loan from my income tax?
Well, of course. If you know you're not going to get your money back, you can.
Oh, I know I won't.
Who did you loan it to?
Mr. Jessel.
Yes, I'm pretty sure you can deduct that. Oh, yes. You have a husband, madam?
Well, I'm married.
What does your husband do for a living?
He phones his mother.
You said that on page 4. But tell me, does your husband support you?
Yes, like a broken garter.
Well, perhaps he has a great number of dependents.
Oh, he has. His family and sea biscuits.
I understand.
Oh, Mr. Jessel.
Yes, Josephine?
The man from the income tax office is here.
The man from the income tax office is here? Well, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind coming in so early. I'll tell him where he gets off. I'll make him wish he'd never bothered me. I've got plenty of courage to talk to him like that, haven't I, Josephine?
Oh, yes, Mr. Jessel. And then will we all have to broadcast from Alcatraz?
Josephine, you must stop reading Nietzsche. Now, look, why don't you practice? Practice your singing lesson.
Let the child alone. She has been practicing all morning.
Honey, you're not supposed to say that.
I know I'm not, but after all these years, I'm not going to stand here like a dope.
What song have you been practicing, Josephine?
The French song Jeanette MacDonald sang in Maytime.
Oh, the French song. Yeah, you mean Les Phyllis Kedick.
What?
The number she sang, Les Phyllis Kedick, huh?
Oh, you mean Les Phyllis Kedick.
Yeah, well... Sometimes my pronunciation goes wrong, but as my French teacher always told me, Denimois, mademoiselle, silver plate.
Oui, monsieur.
Oh, merci bien. Et mesdames et messieurs, avec plaisir, je vous présente artiste extraordinaire, une chanteuse âge de 8 ans. La première chanson, Les Félicadies, Léo Delibes. Mesdames et messieurs, merci bien, chantez mon enfant. So I'll button on that, you lot of mugs.
Everybody loves a success story, and today we'll tell you a success story of the fishing industry. It's about 5 young fishermen of San Diego, not one of them over 23 years of age, who have placed an order for a clipper ship costing $145,000. To own a clipper ship has been their dream since they were small boys and watched their fathers come in from long fishing cruises to the far-off South Pacific. They've been saving their money since they were 15, and last fall they made a first payment of $35,000 on their own clipper ship. The Southern California Fish Institute is proud of the thrift and perseverance of these young men, and we who depend on them and their kind for the great variety of delicious fresh fish available in the markets, hotels, and restaurants of Southern California the year around, we salute them. It's men like these who have made California one of the greatest fishing states of the nation. These are the men who bring in over 1.2 billion pounds of fresh fish annually to our fishing ports. Right now, there is an amazing variety of fish in our markets, including fresh seafoods of all kinds, shellfish, smoked and cured fish, an amazing variety of the finest and most nutritious food in the world. For the joy of good eating and the thrill of good health, eat fresh fish several times each week.
You are listening to the George Jessel Show. This is Norma Talmadge speaking. And we bring to the microphone at this time one of the screen's foremost actors, one whom I'm happy to have had as my leading man, the international star, Edmund Lowe.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it seems awfully good appearing with you again, Norma, dear, even though it's just for these few moments. I was saying only the other day, one of the most enjoyable engagements of my career was when we made the picture A Woman's Way together.
Say, Ed.
Eddie, I'll never forget that picture. Remember the love scenes we played in my boudoir? We had to take it over and over again.
Ed, I just wanted to welcome you here.
And Norma, remember the scene where I ordered you out of the house?
I should say I do. That was a big scene of the picture.
Look, folks, I just want to welcome
you. And then I ran to you and threw my arms around you like this.
Say, look, folks.
Go away, son. You bother me.
Oh, she appeals to you, huh?
Why, George, I didn't see you. Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
I'm sorry I didn't get Victor McLaglen. But say, Eddie.
That's you.
I have an idea for a scenario that I think would make a great vehicle for you. I originally planned it for myself. But I don't think the producers want to make it with me. I'm not sure, but I just don't think so.
What makes you feel like that, George?
Well, when they send a story back to you 8 or 9 times and you go to their office and you're rejected by force, I think that's hinting that they're not quite stuck on the thing, you know?
Well, perhaps you're just a little sensitive.
Well, maybe I am, but I'll keep trying. My Aunt Mary always says you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Don't you think so? Yeah.
Well, dear, tell Eddie the story.
Oh, this is a great story for you. It's called The Popeyed World. The action of the piece takes place during the World War. And you play a character, well, Eddie, you've never played anything like it before in your life. Sergeant Squirt. And I play something that the world has always loved me as Captain Schmag. Now, there's a great part in it for you, Norma. You play this simple little French girl of the village. Your name is Chow Mein.
Chow Mein? What will I wear?
Just a few noodles. Now, I'll explain the scene to you. It takes place in a canteen somewhere in France, 1918.
Go on, scram. Hello, vodka. Bonjour.
Ah, bonjour, monsieur sergeant.
Donnez moi a bottle of Van Rood silver plate.
Ah, oui, monsieur sergeant.
Where's that sweet little daughter of yours today, vodka? I suppose she's around with that tin soldier, Captain Schmag, huh? When's the wedding coming off? I don't see what she sees in that guy anyhow. He'll never marry her.
What can I do, monsieur sergeant? Charmaine, she loves him very much. He has promised to make marriage with her when the guerre is fini.
Well, she can always have me. I'm nuts about her. And take a tip from me, vodka. That gold brick ain't going to marry nobody. When the guerre is finished, he'll just take a run-out part of it, that's all.
Ah, monsieur sergeant, if he break my Cherie's heart, I will kill him. For myself, well, I do not care. I want my little Charmaine to be happy. I will make him to keep his promise.
Yeah? Where's Charmaine now?
Oh, I will call her. Charmaine, the sergeant is here.
would we?
I'm fine, baby. What are you doing with yourself today, huh?
Today, I am knitting something to cheer the boys up.
A sweater?
No, a bathing suit for myself.
You're okay, Cherry. Say, where's that phony sweetheart of yours, Captain Smag? Has he been around today?
Ah, oui, Monsieur Sergeant. He's in the backyard milking the cows.
Oh, he is, huh? Well, you wait right here. I'll have him out of here in a jiffy.
Mademoiselle from Armandes Parlez-vous. She couldn't add, now that's a fact.
But, brother, how she could subtract?
Inky dinky Parlez-vous.
Hello. Hello, Captain Smag.
Hello, Sergeant.
So this is where I find you, stealing milk from a poor cow. Why aren't you at the front?
Because there's no milk at that end.
There's you.
There's me.
Captain, why is it when you return a salute, you always say, same to you?
Because I used to be a sergeant once myself, and I know just what you're thinking.
There's you.
There's me.
Pardon me, Captain. Is that your nose, or are you eating a banana?
There's you.
There's me.
Who told you I was here, Sergeant?
A little bird.
Oh, a stool pigeon, eh?
Why aren't you on the firing line, Captain?
I got a headache. I don't feel like working a machine gun today.
Well, that's too bad. Just relax, Captain. We'll stop the water. You're feeling better. I saw you retreat ahead of your men this morning. What were you running for?
I wasn't running for. I was running from. I knew we were going to retreat, and on account of I'm a little lame, I got a head start, that's all.
You're yellow.
I am not. I'm sunburned.
Listen, Smag, I want to talk to you about Chow Mein. Now, you took her away from me and promised to marry her. Why don't you?
Because I'm a soldier. When I have to retreat, I don't want to be dragging no woman after me, see?
Well, it's a shame to leave her here every day, crying her heart out, while you're safe in the trenches. If you don't want her, I want her. If you don't care for her, I...
There's you.
There's me. She's waiting for you inside. Go ahead and tell her. I'll wait out here.
Okay, soldier. Hello there, Chow Mein.
Oh, mon chéri. Shut the door.
Shut the door yourself. You're nearer to it.
Oh, excuse me. Is this private?
No, this is the capitaine.
Listen, Sergeant. What's the idea of walking in here without knocking?
I just don't give a rap.
There's you.
There's me.
Oh, mon chéri. Please do not fight over me. I am not worth it.
Chow Mein, why are you so sad today, huh?
Because I dreamed last night. Captain Smag, you run away from
her. Honey, don't you know dreams are just the opposite?
That's why she's so sad.
There's you.
There's me.
There go those ducks again.
Duck, Captain, duck.
Now he tells me to duck. In your eye.
Listen, soldier, Columbus landed, but you won't.
Oh, gentlemen, gentlemen.
What, did somebody else come in?
Don't fight, please. Peace and make up.
What do you think we are, a couple of frogs? He's a pain in the neck.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and all points south.
It's a good thing I'm not myself today.
Well, whoever you are, you're no bargain.
There's you. Oh, excuse me.
Well, Smag, it looks like the big argument's over, huh?
Oh, Capitaine. The girls see me. Now we make marriage. We.
Some other time, kid. I gotta go to China.
You're staying right here, see?
No, I gotta go to China. Got a little laundry business. Who is the coach? I gotta go to China.
Now get this, Mag, and get it straight. When we hit this village, I started going steady with Chow Mein, and I wanted to marry her. But the minute I turned back, you beat my time, and you promised to marry her. Well, that was okay with me because I figured all's fair in love and war. And what a sweet kid like Chow Mein sees in you, I'll never know. Well, that's neither here nor there. I'm standing by to see that she don't get a heartbreak. And as long as she loves you and won't have me, you're going to marry her.
Says you!
Says me! Come here, Chow Mein. All right, you all ready, Captain?
Before we proceed with the ceremony, I must know the bride's age.
19, Monsieur Chaplin.
And to the groom, I say, have you her father's consent to marry her?
Father's consent? Who do you think that guy behind him is with a shotgun, Daniel Boone?
Thank you. That was swell, Sergeant.
Says you, Georgie.
Says me, Eddie. Thank you, Edmund Lowe.
Mr.
the mothers who must plan 3 meals a day, 365 days in the year, the fish industry addresses this announcement. We realize how stupendous her job is. She must please her family, she must see that the food they eat has proper nutrition value, and she must keep within a certain food budget. Here in California, where over 30 varieties of fresh, smoked, or cured fish are available daily in the market year-round, her job becomes much easier. This wonderful variety of fish can be cooked in any number of delicious ways. There are over 500 known recipes for preparing California fish. Seafoods are higher in nutrition value than any other food. Fish contains a large amount of tissue-building protein, energy-producing fat, deep-sea minerals, iodine, phosphorus, ichthyol, calcium for strong bones and teeth, and the prized vitamins A and D. All of these food properties are essential to the health and well-being of your family at all ages. And all of these properties are found in fish, something which can be said of no other food. In these days of careful budgeting, the fact that fresh fish costs far less than other protein foods is tremendously important. You can cut your food costs considerably by serving fish frequently. And you will please your family with the many new and different fish dishes. For the joy of good eating and the thrill of good health, eat fresh fish several times a week.
Yes, this is George. How do you like the show so far? Oh, you do? Well, you just say that because you're my mother. You say it even if you're Milton Berle's mother? Well, that's nice. What are you doing, Mom? You having trouble? What trouble? The kitchen is full of ants. Well, don't worry about it. Just put some WPA powder on them. No, it won't kill them. It'll just slow them up. You thought my new song that won the prize, Sweet Salami, was wonderful? No. In the first place, it's not Sweet Salami, it's Sweet Lilani. Second place, it is a wonderful song. And in the third place, I didn't write that song in the first place. No, the song that I wrote is this. As long as I love, I'll always adore you. As long as I love, you'll always be mine.
I'd make a crown of sparkling stars for you, gathered from the skies. But how can I compare them to the starlight that shines in your eyes?
As long as I breathe, I'll whisper I need you. As long as my lips can whisper your name,
the sight of you will send me soaring above the sky above.
As long as I dream, as long as I live, as long as I
above the
Just a minute, Mom. Hold the phone a second.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, Miss Talmadge, come here. Hurry up. Quick. Look, what's that?
That's the circus parade, Josephine. The circus is in town.
Oh, Mr. Jessel, will you take me to the circus?
Yes, Josephine. I'll take you and Miss Talmadge to the circus next week. It's only half price for children anyway.
Oh, goody. I'll buy the peanuts.
Yes, Mr. Jessel will probably eat them all.
No, I want to give them to the elephant.
Now, Josephine, when we get to the circus, I don't want you to go near the elephant.
Don't worry, Mr. Jessel. I won't hurt them. Oh, look, Mr. Jessel. Joey Brown is in the parade.
No, no, Josephine, my child. That isn't Joey Brown. That's a hip on top of the omnibus.
What's the thing with the long neck, Mr. Jessel?
That's a giraffe, Josephine.
Gee, what does he do when he gets a sore throat?
Now, look. Don't ask him any questions, Josephine. When we go to the circus, I'll explain everything. Hello? Hello, Mom? Oh, next week? Well, don't you forget to listen, because here's what we're going to have. The George Jessel Show, in conjunction with the L.G. Bomb Self-Clover Show, will present the three-ring circus, featuring the world's greatest woman animal trainer, Mabel Stark. Also, Joe, the human chimpanzee, with freaks and monstrosities gathered from the four corners of the earth. See the doll-faced boy, Wataponum. And see the bearded lady, Mademoiselle Bush. See the harem scarum girls, direct from Abdel Nussbaum's harem, and don't forget to see Allah Fashid and animals from all over the world. Bring the children. The big show will be given rain or shine. Hurry, hurry, hurry. See you at the circus, folks, next Sunday. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, everybody.
George Jessel's 30 Minutes in Hollywood brought you Norma Talmadge and the guest appearance of the international motion picture star, Edmund Lowe. Next week, George Jessel will present as his guest, by courtesy of Algie Barnes' Sells Floto Circus, the famous woman animal trainer, Mabel Stark. Also, Joe, the famous motion picture chimpanzee. Regular members of the cast include Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Join us next week in George Jessel's office. The doors will be open at 3 p.m.
The George Jessel Show comes to you through the courtesy of the Southern California Fish Institute.
On this program were the selection Sweet Leilani from Waikiki Wedding, Shadows on the Moon from Girl of the Golden West, and As Long as I Love from Little Miss Roughneck. Material for these programs is written by Sam Carlton and George Jessel. The George Jessel Show comes to you through facilities of the Don Lee Studios in Hollywood. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
30 Minutes in Hollywood, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 13, 1938, on the Mutual Don Lee Network. In that broadcast, we heard a satire of the film What Price Glory, which originally came out in 1926 and starred Edmund Lowe, one of the guests on the program. The unlikely comedy setting of the U.S. Marines was adapted again in 1952 with Dan Daly and Jimmy Cagney. You're listening to An Hour of Variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Texaco Star Theater, better known as the Fred Allen Show, and billed as such in this Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast from June 4th, 1944, featuring special guest actor Peter Lorre.
The Fred Allen Show, specially rebroadcast for the American Armed Forces and their allies. Here are Fred Allen, Portland Hoffa, the Mighty Allen Art Players, Hi-Lo, Jack and the Dame, and Al Goodman, his chorus and orchestra.
There's a great day coming, mañana, with a wonderful, wonderful dream.
Everybody, we're told, will be rolling in gold. We'll be out of the doldrums mañana.
There'll be lots of pretzels mañana. There'll be strawberries floating in pride.
All your skies will be blue. All your chairs will be few. All your fours will be Buicks mañana. There'll be high times, high in the sky times. So come you mourners and pick your flowers. There's a great day coming mañana. If mañana ever comes.
Everybody we've told, we'll be rolling in gold. We'll be
out of the doldrums mañana. There'll be lots of pretzels mañana. Berries floating in cream.
With a happy return, we'll be dancing again. We'll be
launching the rainbow mañana.
There'll be high times, high in the sky times. So pick your club. Oh, there's a great day coming mañana. If mañana ever comes.
Last week, ladies and gentlemen, Professor Einstein called on the intellectuals of the world to organize and form a union of thinkers. Tonight, we bring you one thinker Professor Einstein forgot to mention. He's Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Jimmy, I do want to thank you tonight for referring to me as a thinker. You did say thinker, didn't you?
Why, yes, Fred, I did.
You weren't lisping?
No, not at all.
You know, a slip of the lip can also ruin me, besides what it will do to a ship, you know. Jimmy, it looks as though our days in radio are numbered.
Well, how do you mean, Fred?
Well, I read in the papers this week that one of the broadcasting companies and Columbia University together are going to train students to be radio writers and announcers.
Oh, you think college boys are going to take our jobs?
Yes, Jimmy, and it's going to be pretty embarrassing.
Yes? How, Fred?
Well, imagine a fellow studying for 4 years to be an announcer. He finally leaves college and gets his big chance. It's the Rinso White program. He rehearses all day. The show goes on the air. After another announcer reads the Rinso White commercial, the college man steps up to the microphone and says, "And don't forget, spelled backwards is..." My lip is gone. But you know, it's going... Oh... Benny's off the air. It's fit to breathe again. Well, it's...
Sir Allen!
Portland, gee whiz. You're just in time, Portland. Jimmy and I were hashing over the news here.
Oh, I read that the Dionne quintuplets were 10 years old.
I saw that.
Mr. Dionne gave them a pony for their birthday.
Well, it won't be much fun, 5 little girls on 1 pony.
Yes, it will. They all have whips.
They should they should cross the pony with a dachshund. They'll get a horse that's long enough that way. Tell me, what else is new, Portland?
The Supreme Court let the Hudson Tube raise the fare from Jersey City to New York.
I saw that, too. It used to be 8 cents. Now it's 10. I wonder why.
Oh, people will pay anything to get out of Jersey City.
You are winning us new friends, I see, across the way. Well, as Shakespeare said, to be MT or not to be MT, that is the question.
That used to be the question.
That's done it. I'm off for Allen's Alley. Raleigh, I am. Raleigh, I'm off for Allen's Alley. Raleigh.
What is your question tonight?
Well, this past week, we had the hottest weather we've had so far this season. It's always interesting to compare the current hot spells with the heat of yesteryear, don't you think? And so our question is, what is the hottest day you ever remember?
Shall we go?
As the shoestring said to the finger, why not? Portland... Portland, here we are back in Allen's Alley. There's a light in Senator Bloat's window. I guess the senator is in. Let's see.
Yes?
Senator, that beard doesn't strain your voice talking through it, does? Senator Bloat, what is the hottest day you ever remember?
July 8th, 1929.
The heat was bad?
It was so hot, the Hoboken ferry took off its slip.
What about this week's heat wave, Senator? Are you taking action?
Yes. If my bill, the bloat bill, goes through...
Yes?
The government will give every taxpayer one package of cigarettes.
What cigarette can give people relief from the heat?
Cools.
Senator, on a hot day, what is your idea of comfort?
Puffing a cool with short draws.
Well, the senator has something here, and it won't hurt if he loses 80 or 90 pounds of it. Well, let's try next door.
Hello, Mr. Smellin.
Well, Mr. Eat the Peaches. What is the hottest day you remember?
Well, it could was be last summer, June the 19th.
How hot was it?
The heat was so hot. Who?
Yes?
My brother, a 32nd degree Mason, went up 10 degrees.
It must have been terrible.
I'm sitting in my house.
Yes?
Outside, the air is scorching.
Gosh.
I'm opening the window. Whoop! It's coming in a hot blast. The canary is fainting.
Gosh.
I'm turning on the radio. I'm fainting.
Well, the radio made it worse. What was on?
Gabriel Heather. Come on.
I should give up, but I'll try one more door.
No.
Oh. Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum, what is the hottest day you recall?
When I'm a little girl, the year I couldn't remember.
Well, how hot was it?
My little puppy, a water spaniel, is perking to death.
You lost your dog? What did you do?
To my puppy, I am dedicating a poem.
Oh, that's sweet. What is it called?
A puppy on a hot day I wouldn't want to be.
That's the title, huh? Well, how does it go?
A puppy on a hot day I wouldn't want to be. A puppy on a hot day could be someone else, not me. A sturgeon on a hot day I would be. Likewise, a guppy. But one thing I would hate to be on a hot day is a puppy. A puppy on a hot day could wag his tail a minute. This will stir a breeze behind, but the puppy isn't in it. I feel sorry for a puppy. On a hot day, he will pant. I can take my coat off, but a little puppy can't. Thank you.
That's very nice. Well, that brings us to the lavender-colored lean-to at the end of the alley.
Onions are white, iodine is brown, Falstaff's here, let's go to town.
Troubadour Openshaw, you have more poems tonight?
Indubitably.
Really?
Have you heard, though the fairy was quite hairy, he didn't frighten Mary?
No.
Or, I knew my victory garden was haunted when that tomato spoke to me? Or perhaps this one. She laughed and said, "You're one in a million." 'Twas the first time she'd ever seen a civilian.
Look, Falstaff, thanks to you, this program is constantly being mistaken for Dr. No IQ. Tonight, we have been discussing excessive heat.
Why I am here. I'll skip the precise list.
Thank you. Just for tonight. If you've written a poem, what is it called?
In rebuttal.
How does it go?
In answer to Mrs. Nussbaum and her puppy in his little pine box, I'll recite a very short poem tonight. I call it a paradox. What is a paradox? Without ado, I'll try and define the word for you. A paradox is the baby bear with his heavy coat of thick brown hair. He's hot in the sun, he's hot in his lair. How can he be hot when he's a little bear?
Thank you, Falstaff. And as Falstaff leaves, he nudges Al Goodman, who promptly jumps up to conduct a number for Hi-Lo Jack and the Dame. Their song, Let's Sing a Song About Susie.
Let's sing a song about Susie, that pretty little, witty little Susie, with the big brown eyes and the turned-up nose and the big blue bow in her hair. Oh, she's as sweet as a bud, and she's second to none. What's more, she's a bundle of joy and just a barrel of fun. Let's sing a song about Susie. You've got to go for something.
summer so divine. But if you want to make love to Susie, no can do, mustn't touch. She's mine. Let's sing a song about Susie, that pretty little, witty little, haughty little, naughty little Susie. With the big brown eyes, turned up nose, and the dimpled chin, cutest grin, wears the bow in her hair, an innocent stare. She's got a certain way of getting around you. Oh, she's as sweet as a bud, and she's second to none. What's more, she's a bundle of joy and just a barrel of fun. Let's sing about Susie. You gotta go for someone so divine. But if you wanna make love to Susie, no can do, mustn't touch. Might get you so in touch. Let's all sing about Susie. She's mine, oh, mine, oh.
Well, thank you. And now, Portland, we better get things ready for our guest.
Who's coming tonight?
Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre? I'll see you later.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come back here, Portland. What are you running for?
Well, in the movies, Mr. Lorre's always killing people. I'm frightened.
Look, who is Peter Lorre? Annie Lorre's brother. What is there to be afraid of? Come in.
Has Mr. Lorre appeared yet?
No, sir.
Oh, good. Ladies and gentlemen, any knives, daggers, stilettos, dirks, or other cutlery found sticking in people's backs after Mr. Lorre leaves tonight must be wiped off and returned to the Keen Cut Cutlery Company at once. These utensils have merely been loaned to Mr. Lorre. Remember, just because it's in you, it doesn't mean it's yours.
That guy sounds like the Shadow's brother-in-law.
Mr. Allen, I'm trembling.
You're trembling. I'm shaking like a crapshooter's cuticle, Portland. But we have got to be brave.
Pardon me, is this Fred Allen's program?
Yes. What do you want, little boy? Are you from the... Are you from the Western Union?
I'm Peter Lorre.
Peter Lorre? So you... are Peter Lorre. Well, Portland, Mr. Lorre isn't anything like we expected, is he?
No, he's smaller than Mayor LaGuardia.
Oh, I don't think so, but you sure are a letdown, Peter.
Do I disappoint you, Fred?
Yes, I thought you'd come creeping in here on all fours, drooling arsenic with a buzzard on a leash. You're supposed to be a brutal killer. You couldn't take a kumquat away from a Chinese baby.
That's what I keep telling them down at the morgue.
You spend a lot of time at the morgue?
Well, it's so nice and cool and peaceful at the morgue.
Well, I wouldn't know, Mr. Lorre. Oh.
Well, if it wasn't for me, a lot of people wouldn't know about the morgue.
Now, please quit talking about the morgue. You sound as though you're slab happy.
But it is so nice and cool.
I know.
Peaceful.
I know you said that. You said that. You are an odious little runt, aren't you?
Fred, why do people think I'm such a monster? I'm just a lovable little guy trying to get ahead.
Ahead, I know. And you're not getting mine, if it's any news.
You know, if people knew the story of my life, they'd see that I'm not a mad, twisted creature. They'd feel sorry for me.
But you're so untall, Peter. You must have grown up with a weight on your mind.
I did, Fred. I did. When I was 2 years old, I was an orphan. No father, no mother.
Oh, you poor kid. What happened to your father and mother?
Oh, I strangled them with a yo-yo.
Oh, you unfortunate child. Who brought you up?
Oh, an uncle took me in.
Good.
My uncle had three heads.
Three heads your uncle had.
One of the heads took a violent dislike to me.
The other two heads were friendly, were they?
Yes, very friendly. But one night his big head ordered me out of the house. I left.
Why that dirty head picking on a poor tot like you? Where did you go, Peter?
Two nights I would climb a big oak tree and sleep in a vulture's nest.
You slept with vultures?
Oh, it was a large nest. There was plenty of room.
Oh, you weren't cramped in the...
No.
But tell me, how did you live?
For a while, I worked for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Really? Doing what?
Well, when Dr. Jekyll would turn into Mr. Hyde, I had to remind him to put his money in his other pants.
He had two pairs, lucky chap. Well, your lean days are over, Peter. Now that you're a big success in pictures, you must have many friends in Hollywood.
No, Fred. I just hang around with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi and Dracula.
Well, what do you boys do for excitement?
Oh, every day we give blood to the Red Cross.
Well, doesn't giving blood every day weaken you?
Oh, it is now our blood.
I'm sure that now that you've opened your heart, people will understand you.
Oh, I hope so, Fred. And I want to thank you for letting me tell my side of the story.
From now on, the public will know that you weren't always a master of mayhem.
When the red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, you know it's spring. When the birds start swinging, spring. When your heart starts swinging, wake up, you old sleepyhead. Get up, and get out of your bed. When the robin comes bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. There'll come a day you wake and say he's found a way to your heart. When the red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Show is rebroadcast especially for the men and women in the United Nations Armed Forces.
The Texaco Star Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 4th of June, 1944, a CBS broadcast later transmitted via Armed Forces Radio. And that wraps up this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.